On the December solstice, we'll be able to witness something humans have not seen in nearly 800 years. Jupiter and Saturn will seem incredibly close to one another, looking like one single bright star. It's what stargazers called a Christmas star, or the Star of Bethlehem. Although in reality, the two planets will be hundreds of millions of miles apart. If you want to catch the rare event, look to the southwest about 45 minutes after sunset. The planets will dip just below horizon at about 7 p.m., so your viewing time will be quick. The two planets will be visible the entire last week of December.
Now, I'm not making a claim that at the very instant of this conjunction, the bright light will break through and all our problems are solved. I think we're in a little bit longer term process than that. My own personal belief is that we've got 5,000 years of toxic patriarchy and dominator culture to clear. And what's happening is instead of just a snap of the finger and we're clear, all of it has to be purged up, seen, processed, and recognized by the collective. So we're in the midst of that process right now. That's why the shifting from a dark age to a golden age is so messy, because all the old mess has to be cleaned up.
Today we're going to talk about the Great Conjunction 2020, December 21st, 2020, the Great Awakening, the Great Conjunction. Will the planetary movements change all of humanity? We'll take a look at the astrological ideas of the Age of Aquarius, Saturn, Jupiter, the Christmas star, solstice, Saturnalia, 2001 Space Odyssey. We'll take a revisit to 2012 and the big hoax to find out, is this just another one of these New Age psychobabble nonsenses? So let's get into it. And by the way, this is, as you may or may not know, astrology is not a strength of mine, as well as the tarot, not two of my strong suits. I know just enough to be dangerous. So I might, and I try to hurry up and get this out to you guys. Because as you know, I'm actually working on the Great Reset series. Because that, to me, is the most important thing happening. Not to say the Great Conjunction's not important. And I'll clarify that later. But the Great Reset is, that's legitimately the big plan. I posted part one, a two-hour book study of Klaus Schwab's The Great Reset COVID-19 book. But I've been dropping episodes 2, 3, 4 on my premium feeds. So if you're not on the team, get with it. Go to rockfin.com/creator/Isaac. Link in the show notes, as always. That's where I'm dropping it all. Because while you're there, you'll also get access to Inside the Mind of a Conspiracy Theorist, a whole separate podcast I run about what it's like behind the scenes. And of course, you can always, as always, get it on Patreon, patreon.com/IlluminatiWatcher, where we're actually doing the Dark Path Book Club. Right now, you can still get on board with that. Still got a couple months left on that. But yeah. Show your support, all right? Get on the winning team. Shout out to all my supporters out there. And, maybe it's not for you, and that's okay. That's okay. I still love you, too. That's all right. But yeah, check out the Rockfin thing, because one subscription fee, and you get access to all the creators on there, not just me, not just your boy. But yeah, I've been deep into the Great Reset stuff. And I've also got a fun little 10-minute, well, more like 6-minute, little funsy skit show I'm working on, okay? More to come on that, so stay subscribed. I'm going to drop that on Christmas. That's right, I said it, Christmas. The happiest of holidays. All right, anyway, let's talk about conjunction. All right, so, and like I said, like I prefaced this, all you uber granola hippies, don't crucify me because I get something wrong here. What the origin of this show, what is this from? Well, I've had many, many people reach out to me, particularly the one that finally tipped the scales to me saying, all right, fine, I'll look into it, was Mariah on Patreon. So shout out to everyone trying to tell me to look into this. I appreciate that. But basically what's going to happen is there's a conjunction of the planets Jupiter and Saturn. And it will occur on December 21st, 2020, which, by the way, is the winter solstice. Now, why all the New Age granola hippies are freaking out is because it's going to happen at the 0-degree marker entering into the constellation of Aquarius, implying the start of the New Age. And then your media outlets are saying, well, you know, these planets are going to be the closest they could possibly be. This happens every so often. And it's going to look like one big star. They call it the Star of Bethlehem. That's the short version of it. And we're going to get into all the details, all the occult symbolism behind all this. Now, I went to many sources. Two primary sources, though, if you wanted to dig into some of the ideas. Bustle.com, they had an article on the Great Conjunction and Aquarius affecting the zodiac signs. And then Duncan Trussell, who had the Midnight Gospel Netflix series, which I still owe you a show on. I've got all the notes. I got the clips. I just got to do it. Needless to say, 2020 has been insane. But Duncan Trussell has a podcast. He interviewed a guy named Connor Habib, who's saying, you know, he's espousing this idea that you'll find in circles of people talking about this, about there's this whole idea of a massive shift in consciousness, an awakening, a great awakening, as it were. Connor Habib's a porn star. Not to say there's anything wrong with that. But he also says eating food is poison too, so, you know, there's that. So, and some of the stuff he says I like. You know, I tried listening to the whole thing, and I'm like, I don't know about this guy. Some of the stuff he says I like, but I have a hard time with some of these people that go so granola, so woke, reading the stars, because to me, they're too vague and too noncommittal, and you can't disprove them ever. It's just not possible. It's like arguing politics with people, okay?
And we do overcome it to some extent. And we also overcome like the Wi-Fi signals, 5G, all that kind of shit that is coming. But it becomes more and more difficult to take all of that in. And so we're going to have to do training, which is mostly spiritual training, to generate the forces within us that can overcome the things that enter into us. Yeah. And we can do that with almost anything, by the way. But it takes, because we're the favored... We're the favored things on this planet. I mean, we're the addresses of the consciousness of God here. So we've got to go into a kind of, training to make that happen.
What does that training look like?
It's different for everybody.
But anyway, those are two good sources I found. But I dug into my archives of occult symbolism and stuff. But let's talk about it. What are we talking about here? We're talking about the movement of the Age of Aquarius, right? It's the age of connective global consciousness. I talked about this in Sacrifice Magic Behind the Mic. Your boy, Mr. Gates, previous guest on the show, he talked about this on Haterazzi, the Jupitern, right? You remember that? But basically, like I said before, Saturn and Jupiter, they're going to align on the solstice and look like a double planet, a double rainbow. Remember that? Remember when we made fun of the guy for the viral video about the double rainbow? Simpler times. But now Saturn, it's going to enter this spot in the sky and the cosmos of the zodiac called the sign of Aquarius on December 17th. Then Jupiter catches up on December 19th, and they will both meet on December 21st at the 0-degree marker of Aquarius. Now, if you look around online, because like I said, I'm a novice with this astrology stuff. I've also read people say they're leaving Sagittarius and entering Capricorn. I don't know, but the consensus seemed to be they're entering Aquarius, and that they're leaving Capricorn, which is associated with the devil in the tarot system, which will play a role. We'll get into that. Now, what's up with these planets? Saturn and Jupiter are the two largest planets in our solar system, and they get close every 20 years, but to do a full conjunction, to join together as seen from Earth, when they match the same longitude is very rare. The last time this happened was March 4th, 1226. Long time ago. Almost 800 years ago. So me being curious, I thought, well, what happened last time this happened? I went to the Wikipedia page for March 4th, 1226. Nothing. Doesn't really, I mean, stuff happened, but like nothing out of the ordinary that stood out to me. But, you know, these woo-woo mega granola types, they're sure this thing is going to be a game changer. It'll be a cryptic game changer, I believe. They say, oh, it's a shifted consciousness. Something that's completely unmeasurable, by the way. But don't worry. The altering of everyone's consciousness in the year of 2020 with a global pandemic that literally changed everyone's lives, billions of people's lives, and the fundamental structure of how every single human being goes about their day will have nothing to do with this. It's all going to be because so two planets a bazillion miles away are getting close to each other. That's what's going to be shifting consciousness. Two planets so far away that you need an app to figure out where they are in the sky. They're almost touching tips, and that's going to change everything as we know it. Okay. All right. As you can tell, I'm skeptical of this stuff. Now, they're calling it the Christmas star in the mainstream media. A war on Christmas? Yes, I think so. They're suggesting that this is the final ushering of the new age. This is the climactic ending of bringing about the new age from the Aeon of Pisces to the Aeon of Aquarius, which, as you know, the Aeon of Pisces is associated with the fish, which is symbolic of Jesus Christ, who made fishers of men. He evolved mankind. Well, now it's time to move on to the age of connected global consciousness. The age of Aquarius. And this idea goes back to 1614, Johann Kepler. He said that the conjunction occurred as the Star of Bethlehem, which marked the birth of Christ. Again, the age of Pisces. People are theorizing that there was actually a conjunction of three planets back then, and this is the allegory of the three wise men. And all of this, of course, supports the idea that all the Bible is just, you know, metaphorical, allegorical, celestial movements, which is the occult version of history, as we'll discuss. But they say that we were under the rule of Capricorn previously. And, you know, Capricorn's got those authoritarian vibes, you know? But Aquarius, that we're not going to have that anymore. We're going to have the global connective consciousness and humanitarian causes, and it'll be great. Now, could it be? This is what old Santa Claus is saying in COVID-19, the Great Reset, at the World Economic Forum, as I've been ranting and raving about on the supporter feeds with the Great Reset shows. Could it be that these New Age granola astrology types are correct, and Klaus just doesn't describe it that way in the book? He knows the truth is that these planets are going to make this shift in consciousness, and he's going to try to say, well, it's because of technology, it's because of people being locked in their home for a year, it's going to be because of this, because of that, bada boom, bada boom. Could it be, right? Like I always tell you, I don't know, I'm not the purveyor of truth here. I'm just telling you how I see it. I'll give you the facts and then my opinion. But that seems to be what they say. They say, as above, so below, right? The cosmos, the macro, affects life on Earth. And look, and to defend the idea before, you know, because I can be persuaded. But to defend the idea that, yeah, some planets a bazillion miles away are going to really affect life on Earth, me and Mrs. Weishaupt drove up to this shithole town named Rexburg, Idaho. And sorry, no offense to everyone living in Rexburg. It's a fine little town. I'm just joking. But we drove up there for the great eclipse that happened in, what was it, 2017? And it in fact blew my freaking mind. Okay. Well worth it. Well worth 8 hours of traffic. To see and feel that eclipse, it was quite literally worth what all these star nerds have been saying. And I wasn't super into it. I just thought, well, it's close enough. Let's do it. And in fact, I'm planning, we'll see what happens. I'm planning on going out to Ohio to hit the next one in, what was it, 2024? And you can see when it eclipsed, when the moon blocked the sun, to feel it go dark and then to feel it got like chilly. And you think, I mean, the sun's pretty far away too, right? And you think, and the realization hit me of like, I don't know, maybe these as above, so below nerds are right. Maybe these planets and their movements have greater bearing on my life and my mood and my emotions and my intuitions than I thought. But like I said, I'm not very well versed in astrology, so the jury's out, basically, for me. Now, the solstice. This is December 21st, an important day. An important day for the occult. So, like, your year is marked out with two equinoxes and two solstices, right? Equinoxes are equal parts day and night. Solstice are the other way around, shortest and longest day. Where the winter solstice, that is your shortest hours of light of the year. Because on this day, and we'll get into that here. But when you look at the occult version of history, like your zeitgeist stuff you saw on the Netflix or whatever, they think that, well, this is the real story. This is the mystery religion story of Christ. Jesus Christ wasn't real. And they point to the movement of the sun, because the sun, like Christ, goes down to the weakest point and dies for 3 days. And the sun, its movement in the skies, it goes down and is resurrected at the Southern Cross 3 days after December 21st. I know it's kind of a longer story, but recall that on a lot of our shows, we talked about the mystery religion. They believe Osiris is the real god, the sun, S-U-N. And of course, it ties into Lucifer. Turns out Osiris is really Lucifer. That's, according to Bill Cooper and some other OGs. But the idea is that the sun, S-U-N, enters each sign of the zodiac at 30-degree intervals, right? Because the zodiac is, you got to picture it as a circle, 360 degrees, and they chop it up into 12 equal sections, 12 slices of the pie with 30-degree intervals called houses. And they say, well, Christ started his ministry at age 30. That's symbolic of the 30 degrees. And the sun travels, the sun travels about 1 degree a day and processes through the full zodiac. 365 days, 360 degrees, close enough. And the mystery religion believes that Christ was the actual sun, S-U-N, the son of God, that moved 30 degrees or 30 years through Capricorn and entered the house of Aquarius at the age of 30 degrees, when he started his ministry, which is why John the Baptist baptized him with water, because John the Baptist is symbolic of the Aquarian water carrier. Christ, the age of Pisces, is here to bring about the Aquarius, the age of Aquarius, the water carrier. And the beginning of winter, which occurs on December 21st with the solstice, this is the point where the sun is as far south from the equator as it possibly could be. And to all these old dumb people, they thought the sun was going to die. They were worried. Because, the sun was tied to the crops, which was tied to life. That was it back then. That was all they worried about, was trying to feed themselves to make it through the winter. So the sun, they were worried. They would watch and track because they didn't have iPhones back then, right? They didn't have Netflix. So they just watched stars. And they watched the sun move. And they were like, damn, there it goes. And it died. It stayed there from the appearance on Earth. It looked like it went as far away as it possibly could. It's freezing ass cold outside. They're making snowmen with sand out there in the Mesopotamia. And the sun's down at the very bottom. It's dying. For three days they watched and they waited and they thought, damn, that's it. It's gone. And then boom, it's back. It's like Leo DiCaprio in Wolf of Wall Street. I'm not leaving. But the sun would start making its ascent back towards the equator, bringing longer days, warmer weather, the crops, the life, etc. So the cultures, they would all celebrate such a thing. And this is where you get the Saturnalia stuff. This is where you get the cult of Mithras in Rome. You ask, what is the cult of Mithras, Isaac? Well, lucky for you, I've got 3 hours of shows on Raised by Wolves, the HBO series, which is all about the cult of Mithras, the Roman secret society, the secret religion, because that's tied into all this. So we're not going to dig through that again, because there's, like I said, lots of information on those shows. So thus, on December 23rd, the Romans, they would celebrate Saturnalia. And this is, of course, the worship of Saturn, known as Cronos, a.k.a. the opposer, a.k.a. Satan. Because Saturn was the planet that was, it was the sixth planet. At the time, it was the outermost planet. They didn't realize we had a couple others. No offense to Pluto, which apparently isn't a planet anymore. We only had 8 planets. But they only had 6 back then, and this was where the sixth planet was, 666, right? It was the adversarial planet. It symbolized measurements, constraints, time and measurements. That's why he's Father Time. That's where you get your Chronos stuff from. Because in the occult history of the world, Saturn needed to be the opposition force to condensed matter from the spirit world. So the spiritual had to be condensed into the material world. And now we need to go the other way. Which, again, if you're listening to the Great Reset series, I believe it's part 2, old Santa Claus, he talks about this. The fourth industrial revolution is going backwards because we went from taking the material world and basically spiritualizing it when we took compact discs and made them MP3s, right? We went from physical mediums to digital mediums, material to spiritual. And now we're going to kind of go the other way, he says. The fourth industrial revolution will be about going from thought, the spirit world, to material. We're going back, which may be confusing, right? But what do you, look at 3D printers, right? That's what we're talking about. The next focus will be on thoughts creating reality. You have to listen to my part 2. That's on part 2. We talked about the fourth industrial revolution and how it supports Crowley's Aeon of Horus, which is your Age of Aquarius and all that stuff. Now, where were we here? Okay, so Saturn. They started worshiping Saturnalia. Birthday of the unconquered sun. Again, reference to Mithras. The Romans, they, of course, at some point there, right, they conflated the birth of Jesus Christ into this celebration because they needed to get the Roman people on board with it because the Roman people were worshiping a whole wide spread of deities and their pantheon of gods. You kind of got to pick and choose which one you wanted. And then here comes the Roman, Constantine's like, hey, wait a minute. We're doing one God and one God only, Jesus Christ. And they didn't like that. So to ease the transition, they conflated some of the holidays. So Saturnalia became the birth of Christ. Which was ironic because Saturnalia had debauchery of all kinds. You had the gambling and they were feasting, gluttonous feasting. Having orgies. Drinking the booze. They'd even do a role reversal where the slaves were served the feasts by the masters. And this is why you have to do that at those awkward office Christmas parties while your boss has to serve you the food. At least we don't have to deal with those this year, right? Got to make lemonade out of these lemons, right? You don't got to see those losers for Christmas parties anymore. At least not this year. Now, Saturnalia, unless you're, Dave Ramsey? Dave Ramsey's out there gazelle-focused, but he's having a big holiday party. They don't care. Now, Saturnalia, this marked the return of power to the sun as it made its journey back up into the sky towards warmer weather. And again, it has to do with the god Saturn, the agricultural Kronos deity, bring the crops back to life. And this goes back even further. They think that Saturn was a deity that reigned during the Golden Age. If you listen to some theorist, was it David Talbot? I don't know. I wrote about this many, many years ago. I believe it was in my first book, A Grand Unified Conspiracy Theory, which, I don't know if you know this, you can get it for free. Link in the show notes. All you got to do is go to IlluminatiWatcher.com/start. Sign up for that email list that I manage and I do not sell. You'll get a free copy of that book. But I talked about the Golden Age in that book that you're going to get for free when you go to the website. But yeah, they think that Saturn had this purple sheath of light over the whole Earth and things were great. So you see, that's where Santa Claus and the other elitists, they want to return to the Golden Age. Because for them, it sure is a good time. For you, not so much. So that's Saturn. Next, you got Jupiter. What's Jupiter all about? Well, this plays a role in the occult history, too. Old Zeus there. The father of the sky, Jupiter, was part of the 2001 Space Odyssey monolith show we did recently. And I'll give you the brief recap. Because as you know in the story, 2001 A Space Odyssey, they find the monolith and it evolves the apes into mankind. Through the alien intelligence. Because the Arthur C. Clarke, who wrote the book, actually had the great monolith that evolved man through David Bowman out at Saturn. But in the film version, it's Jupiter. Because Kubrick said he couldn't recreate the rings. There's theories that otherwise. But anyway, this is the same. Okay, so the monolith has the perfected dimensions, right? But it aids in evolution. The astronauts go out that way. David Bowman's the only astronaut living through it. He finds the big monolith out by Jupiter, and he goes into the wormhole. My God, it's full of stars. He wakes up in the alchemical transformation hotel to become the Star Child. Mankind evolves through the alien intelligence out by Jupiter. Then in the sequel, 2010, A Space Odyssey, you find out that there's not just one monolith, there's a ton of them. These are monoliths controlled by the aliens consciously through the higher dimensions, which is what I believe the aliens are, by the way. I believe that the aliens are extra dimensional beings because as much as I don't like the idea of us evolving transhuman into the transhuman digital matrix stuff, that's where we're headed. That's where we're going. 1,000 years from now, that's us. Maybe less. But for sure, right? If there's an advanced race of beings out there, they've already done this process. They've already reversed the process and spiritualized matter. Like I always say, these occultists, I mean, they're not always wrong. I don't agree with it. I don't like it, but the writing's on the wall. Through technology, this is happening. So anyway, these aliens, they're in a higher dimension, and they increase the mass of Jupiter by assembling an infinite amount of monoliths, and guess what happens? It creates it blows Jupiter up, and it becomes a brighter sun than the one that we are familiar with, and they call it Lucifer. Doesn't it all make sense? Now, in reality, there is a project NASA's run called Galileo back in the day that orbited Jupiter. It confirmed there's an ocean of liquid water. there's been more missions since then. And if you recall, in 2020, there was a big to-do about the presence of water out there on Jupiter. So now they are sending a Europa Clipper mission to send a probe to look for life by 2024. They say, look, there's probably life out there. There's so much water, it's got to be life. And we're going to find it. So Jupiter does play a role in this, right? So you got Jupiter and Saturn conjuncting. Big deal for the occult. Now, could it be this big, and all the star reader granola nerds are like, hey, big shift in consciousness coming because of this. Well, if you recall, back in 2012, we went through the same exercise when all these same folks were saying, oh my God, Nibiru, Planet X, it's gonna prairie dog into our solar system long enough to let the Anunnaki aliens come back to Earth like they did millions of years ago when they created mankind to slave away in the gold mines for their home planet's atmosphere. While they were here, they were making sexy time with the ladies and created a bloodline revered by the Illuminati to this day. Because some nut job named Zechariah Sitchin wrote a book about this. Therefore, it must be true. Oh, dear. Yeah, we said this back. If you remember, I don't know how old you are, but I remember it very clearly. I was covering the blow-by-blow on that back in the day on the blogging days. 2012, the whole world was going to end and this big shift in consciousness and all this crazy stuff. The Mayans, they were so hot too. Remember them? They were so hot in 2012. There was theories that the New Agers were like, oh, they, you know, these Mayans, they fled Atlantis. They made the best calendars. They tracked the suns and the stars the best. They knew all about the cycles of time. And they said that the fifth and final 5,000-year cycle was going to end, finishing a larger 26,000-year cycle. And that's the great cycle. So we were at the end of a 26,000-year cycle. Surely, this would mark a new age coming. This was going to restore the balance of Earth. The Mayan people knew it all along. And then nothing happened. And of course, they're like, well, we have the dates wrong. Because you got to look at the Ethiopian calendar. Like, oh my God, you guys, come on, get it together. And now, supposedly, this year is the real Planet X coming. Okay, wake me up when the aliens are at my door. Let me know. Let me know when they're here. I'll be sure to bake some cookies for them. Yeah, right. They're going to come for me first if that's true, huh? They're going to sneak through the window with that big probe. I'm going to be crying. We're getting off topic. Okay. 2012, we also had a big galactic alignment. That also happened. All these things happened. Was it December 12th or December 20th? 2012? I don't even remember. The sun was passing through the dark rift. Again, the Mayans called this the Black Road. And this was the pathway to the underworld, Exobalba. Zibalba is out in the center of the Milky Way. So again, all signs point to massive shift in consciousness. However, NASA, they said, look, we have no clue where the center of the Milky Way is. And the sun passes through that dark rift every single year, so not a big deal. But like for the New Agers, like that don't look. That's not good for business. That don't sell devil sticks and hacky sacks. So we're rolling with it, and they said that. That's what they claimed. Then they also said, "Oh my God, the poles are shifting. Pure chaos when the poles shift." Because they said, look, the poles shift every now and then, and it's going to briefly open this window of time when the Earth is not shielded with the magnetic lines of flux protecting it. And we're all going to collapse when the flip happens. So we're going to get thrown off the axis. The Earth is going to get thrown off the axis. We're going to go flying through space. But the science nerds, they say, yeah, the poles are constantly and slowly flipping all the time. And there was no... there's no way anything serious was going to happen. So 2012 to me was a big farce. Now 2020 though, maybe, and we're going to wrap this conversation up because that's the gist of it, right? it's and I dug through. There's so much vagary, and I mean, even if you listen to that Duncan Trussell Conor Habib show, you know, they talk about the shifting in consciousness. We're going to be more connected. Sounds great, right? You know, we're all going to feel the pain of others. Everyone's going to have empathy all of a sudden. And they actually say that if you're not mentally ready for this, you're just not going to make it, okay? You got to work on your empathy to survive and do the work to understand what's going to happen, because it's just going to blow your freaking mind, man. And I don't know, to debunk that, they point to all these movements of 2020, right? They say, well, look at 2020. Look at the last few years leading up to this. You've got the Me Too movement. You've got the LGBTQ movement. You got the Black Lives Matter movement. We're all feeling more empathy for one another. We're all trying to raise awareness of equal treatment of other human beings. And our individuality is going to melt away. The ego melts away, and we're all going to be in full understanding and complete empathy and all that stuff. But to me, because look, I grew up in the 90s where we were very much like, hey man, don't label me. Don't tell me. I'm not going to fit into your mold of who you think I am. Okay. Very defiant. And, you know, that's why I like Nirvana. Why Kurt Cobain was wearing dresses and stuff. He wasn't like transgender cross-dressing. He was just like, dude, social norms are bullcrap, man. And this is what I said. I got in trouble on Twitter. Because some lady, I don't know, what happened? Some lady tweeted a magazine article cover with the guys from Silicon Valley, that show on HBO. And they're all standing there like, looking like, you know, beta cuck nerds with their hands in each other's pocket. And she's like, gross or whatever. And then there was a whole argument ensuing about how what happened to real men, you know, we're emasculating men. And I said, and my whole argument is like, look, you guys think you're so woke and like, oh my God, men are going away. And like, what's going away? Right? What's going away here? The social construct given to you from Hollywood and TV telling you what a man really should look like? The traditional roles of all those who controlled it for so many years telling you a real man does this and a real man does that and a real man wears this and a real man looks like this. Which, by the way, when you dig into toxic masculinity, you'll find there's no rules that make any damn sense. There's no rules. They all contradict each other. Like these guys wearing their dorky clothes. Because on the one hand, this is how stupid it is. The people that sit here and say, oh, they're trying to emasculate men by making them wear these like sissy clothes. But in reality, you'll find that if you dress nicely at work, let's say theoretically, you're a pretty great looking guy. And you go to your office job and you're dressed and they call you metrosexual and they make fun of you. And it's because they say, well, real men don't care what they look like. So there's two contradicting roles, and we can go on all day, but we're not going to talk about that. No, we're not. But anyway, my point being, where were we? They say that individuality is melting away. But to me, when you talk about the LGBTQ, you talk about BLM, you talk about specifically focusing in on race, that is dividing ourselves into more categories, is it not? I mean, look at the LGBTQ. It started out with like LGBT, and then it was LGBTQ. Now it's even more because everyone's like, well, here's my label. And to me, this is all a big psyop because as old Santa Claus is talking about, they're using that data. They're like, give it to me. What specific category are you into? Are you a pansexual, binary, cis, hetero, freaking nonsense? Because everyone needs to feel like a snowflake and make sure everyone knows where they want to put their wiener. And they're using it against you. How's about, like, I don't know what I'm into. I don't know. maybe I'll decide next year I want to be something different. Do I need this label update? Do I need Mark Zuckerberg to know my exact status of who I am to be happy? It's all this cry for attention, and they're using it against us. They want you to choose your label so that they can file you into a... Because look, I've done computer science classes. I've got an engineering degree, right? It's all about metrics and data. The more data and the more metrics they can build, the more they can manipulate. You know, in program management, there's a saying, if you can't measure it, you can't manage it. How do you think that applies to the real world? They're saying, if I don't know what sex, gender, race, preference, self-identifier you have, I can't manage you. And that results in chaos and anarchy, and they want to be the adults in the room. All right, I'm getting off my soapbox now. But that's where the contradictory statements are by Connor Habib and Duncan Trussell, where I challenge them on that. This isn't gaining this empathy and melting of social constructs. We're contributing to it by signing up for these different identifiers. But they're arguing, they say, well, the shifts in cosmos are going to affect us on Earth because of as above, so below, the Hermetic axiom. And that's what's actually fueling all this strife right now and these revolutions, is because we detect a disturbance in the force. We don't know how to act out on that, though. And look, was 2020 the Great Awakening, or was it not? On some levels, it was. So, again, I don't know. Maybe they're right. Because look at what happened. You had this deadly virus. I know, controversial statement. That either way, that's how it was pitched to us. And that's how most people receive it. You had this deadly virus floating around. And it forced everyone to reflect on their mortality. What does that sound like to you? That to me sounds like the massive Freemasonic reflection chamber ritual rolled out on a global scale. This is what happens when they initiate a Freemason. They put them in the reflection chamber. That's what the symbolism of the skull is for skull and bones. It's reflecting on the mortality of your own life. What is really important to you? And that's also, by the way, what Santa Claus says in his Great Reset books. They're alchemically creating a new world. Whether you know it, whether you like it or not, it's happening. This is the New World Order. This is how they're going to bring it about. Could it be they're also tying it into these astrological movements? Maybe. I don't know. But Santa Claus said this would happen. They call it the new normal. If you remember, back then, myself included, amongst all the other sheeple out here said, you know, 1 month into this thing, they're like, well, things will never be the same again. I said, what the hell you mean things are never going to be the same again? You better watch your mouth, Santa Claus. Or I'm gonna climb up your chimney with my boot. But they psychologically planted this seed to be true. No matter what you want to believe about the Wuhan flu. No matter what you want to believe about the masks. Because they are, in fact, part of the ritual. But in the Freemasonic rituals, it's actually a blindfold, not a mouth mask. But either way, I would argue that you could suppress the ego and the former sense of self. And it plays into the idea of the new normal, of the shift in consciousness, fill in the blank. Now, in conclusion, you want my dumb two cents? I'm going to give it to you. Kind of like in 2012... I don't know that I buy in on the level that I'm like, sell your house, go up to the hills and all that stuff. It could be though, right? It could be contributing to this new normal thing. They could be using it in conjunction with their, no pun intended, in conjunction with their Great Reset stuff. But to me, like, it's also very vague. It's also very QAnon-y, right? Very non-committal. So that gives it like the snake oil salesman vibes where it's like, well, you know, it's just a shift. Well, like, what are you talking about? How do you measure this? What specifically is going to happen next year that wouldn't have happened anyway? I think that they could be capitalizing on these Gnostic, pagan, Illuminati ideas of Christ stealing their mystery religion of worshiping the sun. In fact, some people, if you look this up, call this the resurrection of Lucifer, the setting of the fallen star. Now, if you recall, this is reminiscent to an analysis I did in The Dark Path. I'm plugging everything because I've been talking about this stuff for years, okay? I'm plugging The Dark Path, available on Amazon and Audible. You know where to go. In fact, I have a link in the show notes. You can get a free copy of it if you are new to Audible. But anyway, I did an analysis of Led Zeppelin's Stairway to Heaven in that book, where we talked about how Jimmy Page channeled these lyrics from somewhere else, some other dimension. And it's about a woman pursuing her true will, which is Crowley's idea, right? Because Jimmy Page was a big Crowley fan. She is pursuing her true will, and she does this when the universe speaks to her through the cosmos to attain enlightenment via the occult philosophies. It has the Piper leading her to reason. Specifically, the lyrics in the song say that. Who is the Piper? This is the horned god of Pan, a.k.a. Capricorn, which plays into the astrological zodiac houses right next to Aquarius there. And in the song, you hear them say, everything still turns to gold, which is, of course, the alchemical process turning lead into gold. Forces of Saturn turning into the sun. Like I said, we've gone through an alchemical process in 2020, whether you know it or not. You've been reflecting upon your mortality for 9 months and counting. The Stairway to Heaven is the ascension of the chakra points from the base to the crown, akin to traversing the Kabbalistic Tree of Life from Malkut to Keter. All of this based on the Egyptian pyramid texts, the Chinese walking of the seven stars of the Big Dipper, probably starting out at Wuhan, I don't know, we'll see. And all these things, right? Basically, all these ideas are the enlightenment and the evolution of man through the energies of the cosmos. So there's lots of occult connections to be had there, right? And I don't mean to crap on the astronomy star nerds. I mean, on some levels, I like their hippie vibes. I'm just not there to the point of a full-on belief in some of this stuff. And I know that's going to ruffle some feathers. I know that the stargazing astrology stuff makes a lot of boring people seem interesting, and there's a ton of guys out there who get laid a ton by spitting this nonsense, so I'm not trying to salt their game. To me, I just don't understand or buy how much they think it really works. Like, you can gas these people with all the stargazing stuff, but like, to me, I want some usable intelligence of what to do. And that's what some people believe in, right? They follow their astrology, they get their charts read, and they read, that's why they're in all the columns of all the magazines. People buy into it. They use it to guide their life and to guide their decisions. So, I don't know, for me, to me, it seems so vague that it's hard for me to say 100%, this is the truth, this is the way. But, you know, it could be, right? Like I said, the jury's out for me. I have a lot of skepticism about it, though. So what's going to be different, right? The next time someone starts talking to you about the Great Conjunction, oh my God, shift in consciousness. Okay, on December 22nd, what's going to be different? You tell me what the big shift, the big change is going to be. Because it's probably nothing. And this is the, you know, it's a new age thing, right? And they're going to be like, well, you can't measure it. I mean, it's not going to be a discernible thing. Like at noon when they conjunct, it's like boom, big thing happens. And in their defense, maybe they're right. Maybe it's like a gradual, imperceivable shift, a change of the environment. And look, ultimately, if this is true, I will gladly welcome it. I like a little bit of that peace, love, unity, respect stuff. Sounds good to me. I mean, at least this isn't like 2012 when they said, oh, the whole world was going to end with the alien invasion. So that's cool. I mean, I remain optimistic for the Great Conjunction. Maybe this is true. Maybe this is the shift, the awakening of the masses to care for one another. I don't particularly subscribe to it. I mean, you won't find me promoting it. I hope it's true, okay? So there you go. A very vague stance for a very vague theory. I hope you enjoy it. I hope that brought some clarification. I know a lot of you have asked for this stuff. And to me, I had seen so many cryptic articles that I thought, what the heck? How do we even talk about this thing? Because there's all these theories out there, right? But like I always say, choose your own reality. Choose your own reality. And that's the theme of 2020. Again, okay, thanks for your time. Again, you want to support the show? I know you do. Hit the links in the show notes. Go to Rockfin. Rockfin.com/creator/Isaac. You get all the great reset stuff. You'll get my second podcast, Inside the Mind of a Conspiracy Theorist. I interviewed your boy Jay Dyer. We did Truth or Drama. I got a whole show on the philosophies of They Live, the Communist Manifesto. And I'm dropping shows left and right on there. So go check that out. At least see what you think of it. There's a lot of creators on there. You can see all the other creators on there. You'll get access to for one low monthly price while also supporting your boy. No commercials over there either, by the way. And of course, Patreon's always on and popping. Patreon.com/IlluminatiWatcher. Whichever system you like better, hey, I'm happy whichever way you go. Thanks for your time. Thanks for your support. And until next time, stay woke.